Hebrews chapter number 11. While you're turning there, let's pray. Father, thank you for being so sweet. Thank you for the good testimonies that we have heard tonight. Father, there was not a testimony one. Everyone was bragging on you and your goodness and your great hand of mercy and your great hand of grace. Everything from protection to providing, everything from help to strength. Now, Lord, we bless your holy name for being our God. God, thank you for the good singing. Lord, every song spoke of your greatness. Every song spoke of encouragement and edification to your people. God, we thank you for the good singing. God, we want to thank you for the good fellowship we've had before the service. And Lord, it was said, Lord, there's nothing and nobody like your people. And God, we're thankful for that. Now, Lord, you know I was prepared to preach what we'd outlined. And God, it's a good message, but Lord, it's not the message for the hour. God, you know my heart. Lord, I just want to please you. Amen. Lord, you've been so good to us. Amen. Lord, why you choose to even use us, I'll never know. But Lord, I sure do want to do everything I can for you because of all that you've done for me. Yes. Now, bless those that are working with our children and young people tonight. Lord, bless this thy people tonight. Help us to be seated in heavenly places. Help us to set our affections on things above. And help us to realize, Lord, one day we will see you. One day we will walk on streets of gold. One day we will embrace you. All because of what you've done for us at Calvary. Bless now, and we'll thank you and praise you for it, for it's in the holy and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8, we find the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Friend, if he ever makes a promise to you, you can hang your hat on it. It will come to pass, because he is faithful and true. Verse 12 says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Can I say, a stranger is away from home, but a pilgrim is headed to home. Can I say, the Bible says in verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Did I say this tonight, that Abraham was a pilgrim and a stranger seeking a better country? Abraham was instructed and followed. Abraham was inspired
by faith. Abraham was insistent on a foundation whose builder and maker was God. We think of all the things about Abraham, how he left the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. And I say, if you're going to follow Jesus, there's some things you got to leave behind. And can I say, he went out by faith, not knowing where his feet was going to land. And if you're going to serve Jesus, you got to walk by faith. Hey, but can I say this? He was rewarded all along the way, and it culminated one day when he got to see the Lord face to face. Hey, what a blessing. Throughout his journey, he didn't know where he'd end up, but he knew he was headed home. Can I say tonight, hallelujah, it may get rough. We may face storms. We may face trials. Hey, we may be mocked and ridiculed, but I've got good news. Hey, we're headed home. Hey, one of these days, hallelujah, hey, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah, we're headed home. Hey, can I say, Brother Doug, you say, where are you headed? I'm headed to my father's country. Hey, listen, I've never been there, but I'm headed home. Hey, it's as sure as I'm standing before you tonight, because God said so. I just believe God. You say, Brother Doug, tell me about your homeland. Can I do that? Can I say, in my homeland, every house is a mansion that was built by the master carpenter, whose name is Jesus. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Can I say, I heard a guy about 30 years ago said, well, God really meant that those were rooms. Because back in the ancient Chinese days, they'd build these big monstrosity of a place that had many rooms. And each room was called a mansion. I can't help it if that's what the Chinese called it. But my God knows the difference between a room and a mansion. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Can I say, in my Father's house, everything is peaceful. No more wars and rumors of wars. No more earthquakes. No more hurricanes. No more sin in the streets. No more broken homes. Hey, no more rays of death hanging on a mansion's door. Why? Because it's a place where God himself dwells. And I say this about my heavenly home. There's no pain, no sickness, no more tears, no more storms, no more sickness, no more death. The sun, S-O-N, is always shining, and he's the light of the city. Can I say, the water's crystal clear. Can I say, in that land, the streets are made of gold. The walls are made of jasper. The gates are pearl. The city has 12 foundations. Each one's a precious stone. It's a ruby. It's an emerald. It's a sapphire. It's a jacinth. It's a diamond. It's a chrysoprase. And also many. And each one is a mile and a half high. And the foundation of this city is 18 miles high. Can I say, my homeland, the meadows are clothed with lilies. Can I say, my homeland, the children are laughing in the streets, and there's nothing to harm them anymore. You say, what is the very theme song of your homeland? It's Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You say, hey, what is this place that makes it so sweet? What is the motto of your homeland? It is, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for me. What is the production of your homeland? It is worship. 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 Hey, what God is the recreation of your homeland. It is family reunions where families get together and bask in the glory of Almighty God. Listen, what is the name of your homeland? Some call it glory. Some call it home. But can I say it's called heaven? It's called the abode of God. It's called that wonderful celestial city called New Jerusalem. Hallelujah, I'm going home. Can I say tonight, you say, preacher, why are you going? Why are you going to this place called heaven? Well, I'm going because there's something worth going for. Listen. Over there, I got a white-headed granddaddy. Who some 43 years ago minded God, was preaching the word of God, and this old boy got under conviction. And it wasn't my granddaddy doing the preaching that night. Well, there was somebody a whole lot bigger walked in the auditorium that night. No, because he was faithful, I get to go home. And I say, I thought he'd live forever. Had no idea death would come knocking at his door. I never really got to tell him thank you like I should. I never really told him what an inspiration like I should. But one day, Brother Lawrence, I will. Hey, there's something worth going for. Hey, I got a white-headed grandma over there. Listen, bought me my first Bible just a few weeks ago. Got to show Brother Sammy the store where my first Bible came from. My grandma had me in church when my mama was out of the hospital from having me. Hey, there's coming a day. I'll get to hug her neck. Say, thank you, Grandma. Thank you for being a good preacher's wife. Thank you for being a good grandma. Thank you for praying for your grandchildren. Hey, one day I'll see her again. There's something worth going home for. Listen, I got a mama over there. I can remember the Thursday night before I got saved. I said, Mom, what does Paul mean when he talks about being saved? And she was able to take the scriptures and show me what the scripture said about being born again. She's over there. One of these days I'll see her again. There's something worth going home for. I never forget Brother Will Roberts. Y'all remember Brother Will? Biggest UK fan. You don't even know UK exists compared to Brother Will. Never forget the first time I ever preached at Orchard Street. He met me on the platform when I got done preaching. Hugged my neck. Said, Brother Doug, God's going to use you. Brother Doug, God's got a church for you. Brother Doug, God's got his hand on you. Every time I got to preach, Brother Will was the first one to get a hold of me. He said, Brother Doug, God's going to use you. Brother Doug, God's got his hand on you. I don't know if you remember, Ray, after we got down there to Victory, we had a big service on a Saturday night where all the folks from Orchard Street could come down. We was going to have a big celebration. Brother Will was there at 5:30. Church didn't start till 7. He didn't want to be late. He was there at 5:30. We opened the doors. He walked in. He said, Brother Doug, I told you God was going to use you. Look at this good church he's give you. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm so proud of you. Brother Will's in heaven. One of these days I get to see him again. Say thank you, Brother Will, for praying for me. Say there's something we're going home for. Listen, most of you know I worked a big corporate job, made a lot of money. Well, I thought it was a lot of money. It was a whole lot more money than you get pastoring, I'll say that. But listen, you know the story when God called me to pastor that church down there. We lost that job, lost all that money. And you can ask Brother Ray, he'll tell you, I went down there and preached that first Sunday. Preached that morning, God showed up. Went back that Sunday night, and God showed up again. But before service that Sunday night, Brother Ray's daddy, Brother Sherman came up to me and said, Brother Doug, if God calls you here, we can't afford but to pay you $150 a week. That's what he told me. And Miss Maris, what I told him.
I said, if God calls me here, God will take care of it. He went and told Brother Ray. You asked Brother Ray, he said, that's our guy. That's our guy right there. Now, what I did not know and didn't know anything about that till later, what I did not know is he told Brother Ray after morning service, he said, we'll never get him. We'll never get him. Well, I was God's for the getting. Are you listening? Because I didn't want to go. I didn't know Brother Ray. I didn't know he was so sweet. I didn't want to go. But God said, go. And we went. Now, here's the rest of the story. They could only afford to pay me $150 a week. Well, my budget, my income was based on much more than $150 a week. Listen, so I was doing all kinds of things. I was working side jobs, but I had a stepfather that owned a lighting business, and they were retrofitting lights in these big factories all over, and we was working in Louisville, Kentucky. This is why I don't like Louisville. Louisville's nasty. We was working in this Pepsi factory in Louisville, and we was up about 100 feet off the ground up there on them scissors lifts, retrofitting them lights. And them lights up there, they'd been up there since Edison invented lights. I'm not kidding you, man. They were heavy. I mean, they were made of cast iron, them lighting fixtures. They were heavy. And man, there was old wiring. We had to rip all that out, put in new wiring, retrofit new lights and all this kind of stuff. It wasn't a Pepsi plant. You'd have thought I was a chimney sweeper when I come off the job each night. I was working in Louisville. I was pastoring closer to where I was working and home. And see, Miss Annette had just had Miss Sydney. And she's home and just brought the baby home. And I'm down there, and I was down there working. We was working an odd shift. We was starting at 2 in the morning, and we'd worked about 12, 1, whenever we got done. She just got out of the hospital. I told her I didn't have time to get all the way home and get her and get to church and preach that Wednesday night. So I left a lighting business and drove to church and preached that Wednesday night, went back down there. And I'll never forget, on Saturday morning when our job was over, the fellow said at break time, they said, now, Doug, when we get done, we're going to go back to the hotel. We're going to get a shower, lay down and rest for a little while, and then we're going to head back home. I said, you hear me, and hear me well. When it's time for quitting, I'm going to hit the time clock, and I'm not going to go clean up, and I'm not going to go rest for a while. I'm going to hop in my vehicle. Mama's driving your Bronze Explorer. I said, I'm going to hop in that thing. I'm going to head north to Florence, Kentucky. I'm going to go as fast as the law lets me go, and I'm going to not slow down until I cast my eyes on Mama. They said, Doug, we've worked hard all week. You've worked hard tonight. You need to rest. You need to get cleaned up. I said, you hear me and hear me well. When it's quitting time, I'm headed to the house. Listen, it was quitting time. I got there. I got to the house. There's Christian. There's Jordan. Mama had already told me Christian, just little, 14 months old, got a pacifier in his mouth. Said he'd been walking around carrying my picture all week, like, where's Daddy? Where's Daddy? There's Jordan and Christian waiting at the door. I hugged them up. Hey, there was little Sydney, my little baby girl, laying on the couch. I gave her a kiss, but I wasn't satisfied. I had to see Mama, and there was Mama, and I got to see Mama. Hey, you hear me? Hear me well. When the trumpet sounds, I'm not going to go somewhere and rest for a little while. I'm not going to go somewhere and get cleaned up for a little while. I'm headed to the house. Hey, I'm not looking for Peter at the gate. I'm not looking for the angels. I'm not going to be satisfied until I set my eyes on him who gave himself for me. Hallelujah. I'm going because there's something worth going for. And his name is Jesus. Listen, there's folks I long to see, folks I serve with, loved ones, but I'm going to see Jesus. Listen, you say, Brother Doug, how do you get there? Well, I'm glad you ask. Well, see, in order to get there, you got to be in the family. You see, there's only
three ways of being a family. You're born into a family, you marry into a family, or you get adopted into a family. And can I say, in Jesus, I got born again into this family. Can I say, in Jesus, I got adopted into this family. Can I say, in Jesus, hallelujah, at the marriage supper, I'll be married into this family. Yeah. Hey, how do you get there? Well, you get there by the new birth, and then you're going to get there by flight. Hallelujah. It's a place for regenerated sinners who become saints of God. Are you listening? What a blessing that I get to go because of the blood that was shed for me. Can I say this? Hear me, sis. Even a prodigal can find a way home. Luke 15 is that great story. Yeah. That boy took the stuff that wasn't even really rightfully his. It was the oldest brother's. But he asked the father to let him have the goods that befall him. And he went and he wasted it in a far country. You know the story. Joined himself to a citizen of that country. In other words, he sold himself out to become a slave to that man. He's laying there in a hog pen, starving to death, would have loved to eat what the slop of the hogs. And he said, how many of my father's servants have it better than this? He said, I will rise, go to my father's house, tell him I'm no longer worthy to call his son, just make me a servant in your house. And you know the story, how the boy got up out of the hog pen. Hallelujah for those that get out of the hog pen, huh? Yeah. Headed back down that road towards home. There's the father sitting on the porch just looking for him. He said, who's that coming down the road? Well, it kind of walks like my boy. Oh, that is my boy. And the father ran and fell on him and kissed him. The father didn't say, boy, where's all the money? The father didn't say, boy, go get the hog smell off of you. No, he fell on him and he kissed him. That boy's trying to tell the father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Make me a servant. Father didn't hear a word. Father's going, my boy's home, my boy's home, my boy's home. Go kill the fatted calf. Go get him a robe. Go get him a ring. Go get shoes. This is my boy who was lost. He's now found. Listen, even a prodigal couldn't find a way home. Heard this story one time. There's a young man on a train. Back when folks still used to travel trains. And he was on the train, he's sitting there and he looked all nervous. And a preacher got on the train. Preacher happened to sit right beside him, began to strike up a conversation. And he said, son, you look a little troubled. I'm a preacher, can I help you? He said, preacher, he said, when I was a young man, I was full of pride and wickedness, thought I knew more than my parents. And I gave them such a hard time. He said, and last night I was home, it was so bad that I actually brought up my fist and struck my father in the face. He said, I left. He said, and I've traveled all over the countryside, hoboing from here to there since then. He said, it's been years. And he said, a preacher, just a couple weeks ago, I happened to go by this little mission that was offering a free meal, offering some soup and some bread. And he said, preacher, I went in there to get some soup and some bread. But they had a preacher who opened the Bible and began to preach. He said, I sat there and something began to grip my heart. And the more he preached, the more anxious I became. And finally, they gave an invitation. And that night I realized I'd had enough. And I gave up the life I'd been living. And I turned and I gave my heart to Jesus that night. He said, preacher, I wrote my mom and dad a letter. And I told them how sorry I was. I told them I sure hated things ended up that way, but I come to know Jesus. And preacher, I told him I'd be on this train today. And preacher, this train, it runs by the old farmhouse. And I told him if I'd be welcome home, if they would just put a yellow ribbon in the top of the big old oak tree out back. When I went by the house, if I saw that ribbon, I knew I'd be welcome home. But if not, they'd be justified not letting me come home. He said, preacher, the old farmhouse is up around the next bend. He said, I can't bear to look. Would you mind looking for me? That preacher looked out the window. He looked back at that boy, and he got a big smile on his face. He said, "Boy, that old oak tree is in full bloom. There's yellow ribbons all over it. And there's a white-haired mama and daddy out there with a bed sheet waving and saying, 'Welcome home, son. Welcome home.' I'm glad prodigals can find their way home through the Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord's got a banner in heaven just saying, "Welcome home, welcome home, welcome home." If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I say, there's home on earth. Somebody once said that home is the sacred refuge of our life. And we are in this world, but we're not of this world. But we can find a home on earth, and that's the Lord's church. In His church, we can find family, and we can find a refuge, and we can find strength, and we can find help on this journey as we head towards our home. Can I say this? All across this countryside, there are real estate agents that lie, say homes for sale. You can sell a house, but you can't sell a home. You can't have a home unless God's the center of it. Are you listening? Brother Brian, you and Miss Veronica used to have a house. But when you met Jesus, you got a home. Are you listening? Listen, I don't have time to turn there, but over there in 1 Kings 13:7, you find a wicked man by the name of Jeroboam who was a counterfeit, and he tried to buy off the man of God. You can try and buy and bribe all you want to, but the only way you'll get a home is to come to Jesus. Let me say this. There are a lot of folks that are homeless. We come to church, and it was said many times tonight how we can come in here, we can find help, and how God blesses, and we can find a place. There's a lot of folks out there that love to have a place like this. And God left us here to go tell them about it. There's a lot of folks that are homeless. Listen. Some of the saddest words in the Bible found in Revelation 20 where it says, "And there was found no place for them." There's a lot of folks that aren't sleeping under a bridge, but they're homeless. A lot of folks that drive nice vehicles, but they're homeless. A lot of folks that have a house, but they're homeless. Let me tell you this story and I'll be done. Back when I pastored down at Victory, it's hard to believe, but I've been here 18 years. So I really got to go way back. It's hard to believe Brother Ray and Miss Pam have been with me over 20 years. It's hard to believe. You used to have a little hair back then, bro.
Curly, too.
It was curly. It was red. You had that little bit on top that kind of blew in the breeze. I used to be skinny, too. I love Brother Ray. See, I didn't go into it, but he had Ray Roberts Construction back then, and I didn't know anything about construction, but he let me tag around with him, so he'd give me a little money. Got me bit by dogs. That big old dog looked like old Yeller. He said, "Oh, that dog won't bother you." We picked up some equipment. It didn't bother me. It bit me right in the back of my thigh. I'm trying to keep from dropping all this material and hit a dog. He said, "Well, he never done that before." Well, he's done it now. Remember that? It was some other place. He said, "Oh, just let's do this." We're doing some stuff there and caused me to step on a nail. Still got a big hole in my foot from the nail that I stepped on. Don't work with Ray Roberts. He'll kill you. No, we used to have a good time. I was in Warsaw back over some drove by that place we built on side of that barn. It's still there. Barn's about to fall down, but what we built will be there till Jesus comes, huh? But listen, Brother Ray, I don't know if you remember. A little girl used to sit on the front row there at Victory by the name of Rhonda. Now, Rhonda wouldn't be allowed to sit on the front row of many Baptist churches. Rhonda was 15, but she really had the mind of about a 6-year-old.
And Rhonda's clothes never matched, never matched. And Rhonda wasn't always clean. When Rhonda'd come, she'd sit on that front row, and sometimes she'd just crawl up there and fall asleep on the front row. I'll never forget one night. I hadn't been there long. I asked for testimonies like tonight. Well, Rhonda raised her hand, which meant you never know what she's going to say. You know, but when you open up the floor, you just got to be, you know, that's just part of it. She said, I'd like to thank the Lord for the clothes that I'm wearing tonight. She's wearing shoes that should have been thrown away. Clothes didn't match, all tattered and old. And I hadn't been there long, and I told you I had that big corporate job. God smote me that night, Brother Lawrence. I'm standing behind the pulpit. I'm wearing a $600 suit that Miss Annette had bought me for my birthday. I had on a tie that cost $75 that night. I was wearing a pair of $350 Johnston Murphy shoes. I mean, but I didn't thank Jesus for my clothes that night. We got the vehicle headed home. I said, you got more clothes than you'll wear in 10 lifetimes. We get home, you clean out your closet. We're going to take some stuff to that little girl. It just so happened I preached that weekend at a church. I can't even remember why I preached, but I told that story. That church gave me some money to give that little girl. Took it down there, and the people at our church, I gave them that money to take her whatever she wanted, use that money for. You know what she wanted that money for? Two things. She wanted to go to a beauty shop and get her hair done. She'd never been in a beauty shop. And she wanted a pair of pantyhose. She'd never owned a pair of pantyhose. Little Rhonda, she would every now and then, if I did like tonight, ask anybody if they had a song, she'd raise her hand. She had a song. And she'd get up and sing it. She'd never heard it in her life, but she'd get up and sing it. She didn't know the melody or nothing, but she'd been reading in the songbook and read those words, and it meant something to her, so she'd get up and sing it. She'd sing off-key, but it didn't matter. Because she wasn't singing to be seen. She was singing because she loved Jesus.
Amen.
I'll never forget the first meeting we had down there. We had Brother Larry Seals coming. Brother Larry, by the way, be back for Christmas again, like we have him every year. And we'd been advertising Brother Larry was coming. Never forget, on one Wednesday night, that came in with the folks that brought Rhonda, come this little teenage girl, about 13 years of age. And she come in the back of the church, and she introduced herself to the men. And she came walking right towards me. She said, are you the preacher? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She says, my name is Beth. I said, I'm Brother Doug. Pleased to meet you, Beth. Glad to have you here tonight. Well, we had service that Wednesday night. On the way out, I told her, I said, Beth, it was great to have you. Sure hope you come back. She said, well, I enjoyed myself, and I probably will. That was on Wednesday night. Sunday morning, Sunday school, here come Beth. Stayed for Sunday school, stayed for Sunday morning worship. That Sunday night, she came. Wednesday night, she came. The following Sunday, she comes. The following Sunday night, she comes. Then comes that Wednesday, we start with Brother Larry Seal. Beth don't come. Had a great service. Thursday night, had meeting, Brother Larry Seals. Beth didn't come. That Friday night, had meeting, Brother Larry Seals. Beth didn't come. That Saturday night, Brother Larry's there. Brother Randy, I think you all were there that night, down from Orchard Street. I think you all was there. As a matter of fact, Larry and Tammy sang that night. A lot of folks were there from Orchard Street, packed house, standing room only, singing got on. God showed up long before Brother Larry even got to preach. Here comes little Beth. She hits the altar. She gets gloriously born again. Here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. What I did not know till afterwards, the family that brought Beth to church stopped back by the church after they took her home. And you know, how us Baptists are, we like to hang out in fellowship for a little while. We were. They came back and they told me that little Beth gave them a bottle of pills, and she had planned on taking her life that night. These were the kind of pills that if you took a whole bottle of them, it would take your life. And that little girl that was so bold and so confident when she came in, introduced herself to me, and came to those services, what I did not know is that little girl was so abused in ways that I can't even mention in mixed company And her mother knew about it and let it go on and didn't care because it gave her mother a break. That little girl had decided she'd had enough. She was going to end her life. And that day that she made up her mind she was going to end her life, there's a knock at the door. It's little Rhonda. "Beth, are you my friend?" She said, "Well, Rhonda, you know I'm your friend." They lived in the same trailer park together. She said, "Beth, we're having a meeting this week going down to church. Brother Larry Seals is here. He's doing a great job preaching. Beth, will you go to church with me tonight?" And all that Beth went through, she tried her best to shield Rhonda, even at school, wouldn't let anybody mess with Rhonda. And when little Rhonda said, "Will you be my friend and come to church?" Beth couldn't tell her no. She said, "I'll go to church with you tonight, Rhonda." She came to church knowing she's going to take her life. But she told those people that brought her to church, she said, "Before his service started, there was something on the inside of me. He said, I need to give Jesus a chance. Give Jesus a chance." Amen. And that night she trusted in Jesus. And can I say, when we found out about all that, we went and took measures to help Beth and get her out of that situation. But here's the whole thing. There's a lot of people homeless. And a little simple-minded girl who didn't have clothes that matched, who didn't know how to sing the songs to the right tunes, she had enough in her to go knock on a door and invite somebody who's homeless to church. And that person got gloriously born again. Amen. You have all your faculties. You do know the tunes to all the songs. You do know the scriptures. You do have that clothes that match. How come you're not out there inviting them to come home? Listen. Abraham set aside on home. But Abraham did what God wanted him to do all the way home. God, help us to realize, yeah, we're going home. But all that matters is who we're taking with us. Amen. I talked about my granddaddy and my grandma. If the Lord don't come back, I wonder when I go on if there will be anybody say, yeah, he made a difference in my life. Yeah. How about when you go on? What will they say about you? You know, the Bible says, and their works do follow them. That means the works of righteousness and the works of unrighteousness. Will they say, oh, you knew their faith by their works? Or will they say, never seen anything in them that I ever desired to have? There's a lot of folks homeless. There's a little boy got lost in London. In London, they call the police officers bobbies. In the middle of London, back in the 1800s, the center of town was not Buckingham Palace. It wasn't Big Ben. There was a big, gigantic cross right in the middle of town. You see, it wasn't too far from moving from when Spurgeon was there. And the little boy was so tore up, he got turned around and twisted around and was lost, didn't know how to get home. But he found a bobby, a police officer. He was tore up, couldn't even tell the police officer his name. And the police officer trying to figure out where he's from, how to get him home. The little boy said, if you'll point me to the cross, I can make my way home. Yeah. If we just point them to the cross, they can find their way home. Amen. God help us to point them to the cross. Let me ask you this question. Are you going home? Are you going to take anybody with you? God help us. Yeah, Miss Veronica, you got something worth going home for. He's waiting on you. He's different than the last time you saw him. He'll be all right. Amen. Huh? Phil, Miss Judy's waiting on you. He'll be all right. Huh? He'll be all right. She don't have cancer no more. He'll be all right. Huh? There's something worth going home for. His sonny and daddy's there. Huh? Brother Bob, I've heard you talk about an influence he made in your life. There's something worth going home for. It'd be all right. But we owe it to this generation to show them the cross that'll lead them home. Let's all stand, Brother Ray. Come get a song. As they got to singing, I just couldn't get that off my heart. I had to preach that tonight. Maybe some of you need to come. Thank God you're headed home. Maybe some of you need to come and ask God to help you to lead somebody else home. Maybe you need to come and thank God that somebody come knocked on your door one day. I don't know. But you just need to mind the Lord. Maybe God's going to put it on your heart to go to somebody and tell them you love them tonight, or tell somebody thank you tonight. I don't know. We just need to mind the Lord. They're picking out a song. Folks are coming to the altar. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, the assurances and provisions it makes. Now, Lord, I pray you'd help folks tonight. We've tried to be obedient. Lord, you know, when I came to church tonight, that was nowhere in my heart. And so, God, I pray you'd help folks. Help them appreciate this journey on the way home. But Lord, give them something inside that causes them to want to point folks home. Bless now. Help your people. Lord, save that one nearest hell. God, redeem and reclaim prodigals. And God, do an eternal work. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.